I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries. Only Jesus hears. People need the Lord. People
believe that? That song is actually in our hymnal, but it only has the chorus. And Francine and I decided, and I'm going to say that several times today, Francine and I. She actually wrote my sermon for me. No, she didn't, but all the good parts belong to Francine. We picked that song particularly because we believe it embodies embodies the vision of our church. To love lost people, hurting people. We love them all. We had a leadership retreat in early March. We evaluated, we talked about all sorts of things for 5 hours. We tweaked some ministries. We clarified what we were about. And then we said, we also determined what are the sacred cows. What are the things that are not to be touched, not to be changed, not even to be considered to be changed. We clarified that. 19 people shared in those important 5 hours. All of you were invited. We'll do it again next year. You're all invited to come and join us. We want your input. We clarified the direction we wanted to go and set people free to use their gifts to accomplish it. Our vision statement is clear. It's in your bulletin. You can see it there. It's going to be in your bulletin. It's going to be on everything we communicate. Every letter that goes out, everything that we do is going to have this statement. This church exists to be a lighthouse for lost and hurting people. We had set aside, we actually had so much conversation in the 5 hours that we did not have time to clarify the vision at that initial meeting. And so we determined to have a team of people to get together, and Vaughn got them all together, and together we came up with this vision statement. A lighthouse for lost and hurting people. As long as I have voice, I will continue to talk today. Hopefully it'll be at the conclusion of my sermon, I'll still be talking. Point number one, this vision or a vision, we believe that the vision had to be balanced and intentionally balanced. If you're keeping notes, that's the words. A vision that has been balanced intentionally. You see, in a lot of the Christian world, you're either a person who's all about evangelism and very light on social issues, or you're all about social issues and you're very light on evangelism. In fact, evangelism becomes, as a lady in the Church of the Brethren said to me, it's a byproduct. We do all these social things believing that people will come to Christ because of those social things. I wanted to ask her how it was going because her church is not a growing church. We believe it doesn't have to be either or. It can be both. And so very intentionally, we have set not only our vision, but our priorities and everything that we're going to do in this church is about being balanced, about leading people to Christ, because we believe the mandate is clear to lead people to Christ, to make disciples, but equally we believe that the mandate is clear that we need to minister to them, and we need to minister to people outside of this building. This vision is new, but not filled with a lot of changes. When I say the word new vision, I know for some of us, when you first heard that those words, it struck the possibility of negative thoughts. You know, a new preacher comes in town, he's going to make sweeping changes. And you go, oh no, what's he going to change next? And oh no, what's he going to change next? There aren't going to be very many changes. In fact, I think, if we're honest in evaluating things over the last 16 months, there have been very few changes. But we all realize that this isn't 1953 anymore, when this building was built. People are different. Now, I want to just have a little light moment with you, and it expresses some things about change. There's a gentleman called Andy Andrews who tells an amazing story about his father asking him to sing Amazing Grace when he was 7 years old. Ladies, if you'll play the video.
you know that when, because I told you my dad was a minister of music. Do you know that one time my dad asked me, I was like 7 years old, and my dad asked me to sing Amazing Grace in front of the whole congregation. And I did it, and I got a spanking for it. I bet you'd like to hear that story, wouldn't you? Because see, I remember getting asked to do it, but 7 years old, I mean, I had heard that song so much. And I didn't really know what it meant, but it was boring to me because it was just over and over. They'd sing it every week. And so when my dad said, you know, would you do Amazing Grace in front of the congregation? I knew the words, but I was kind of bored with the tune. And so, but when he got me up there, you know, I was up there, and right before I sang, I remembered that I had noticed the words to Amazing Grace would fit perfectly into my mother's favorite song, which was Ghost Riders in the Sky. So I said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see you. And within the 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise the Lord. Let's hear it for Jesus, the Holy Ghost Rider in the sky. And so, you know how like how you're laughing right now. The congregation did that too. But my daddy wasn't laughing. And he kind of went over to me and he leaned down and he said, you know, that wasn't what I was expecting. So try it again. And I thought, ooh. Well, I had also noticed that the words to Amazing Grace would fit perfectly into the music of a song that I heard my grandfather play on his record player behind the barn. I didn't really know what the song was about, but it was called House of the Rising Sun. And I also knew, I thought at that moment, my mom likes Elvis, so I thought I'd throw a little of that in there too. And when my dad backed away, I said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And when my dad took a step toward me, I took a step back and I said, thank you very much. And he walked up to me and he said, one more chance. So I thought, well, maybe those versions were too slow. Because I had also noticed that the words to Amazing Grace would fit perfectly into the theme song from my favorite television show, Gilligan's Island. So I said, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. And that's when I got the spanking.
I want to assure you that's not the kind of changes we'll be making in the church. But I knew we all needed a good laugh. And I guarantee you, some of you will be singing those tunes today in your afternoon. We have a great team of deacons and a wonderful board committed to working together to talk about the priorities of our church. So let's talk about the first one. Point B, if you're keeping track. Seeking lost people who matter to God. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Clearly, that is exactly why Jesus came, to seek lost people. People like you and me. People like our neighbors down the street or our coworkers. People matter to God. And they should matter to us because they matter to God. You realize there's nothing you can do, nothing you can do that will ever cause God to stop loving you. And we need to communicate that to a world that is so very, very far from Him. We need to be intentional. We need to make it a matter of priority in our own personal lives to communicate the love of Jesus to anyone who does not know Him. And I want you to be praying, as we have been praying, for God to put in front of you that person and to give you the words. I know you're afraid, but to give you the words that would speak love, God's love, into their life. But also, we are to fulfill the mandate to minister to hurting people. That's point C. In that final few days of Christ's life, so much of it is recorded just in that final week. Jesus had His disciples, and He was teaching them. He's trying to communicate to them everything that was important before He was going to go away. And so in Matthew 25, and you realize Matthew 28 is His commissioning, so we're only three chapters away, so it's close. And these are the words that He writes, and we cannot forget them. Matthew 25, 31 to 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited Me, and I needed clothes and you clothed Me. I was sick and you looked after Me. I was in prison and you came to visit Me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these, My brothers and sisters of Mine, you did for Me." It's a balancing act. As much as I am passionate about lost people, people who know Me know that my heart cries out for hurting people. And I'm not the only one in the room who feels their pain. And our church is committed to making a difference in people's lives. I don't know whether this is in politics they spin everything in a positive way, so I'm going to spin it in a positive way. We're already in April in our board meeting, and the Helping Hands is already asking for more money. That's because we've had so many people at our doors asking for help. In fact, at one time, and Karen can verify this, at one time, Karen had one family in her office, and I had a separate family in my office at the very same time. We were almost out of money come board meeting in April. And so they did what they needed to do, and they gave us some more money. Because they know the times are great and the needs are great. And they're hurting people. They're everywhere. If you want to learn, if you want to work in the jail ministry, you think you might be called to that, I'm going to tell you, talk to Francine or myself. We both work in there. We both have connections in there. We can get you the training that you need. But it's a tremendous need. And am I wrong, Francine? It is a tremendous need. Maybe it's feeding hungry people. We have Emmaus House. You can go and serve a meal on several of our people already do. But sign up, go serve a meal for those who are there at the Emmaus House. Providing food. How many, don't even raise your hands, folks. because I'd have to raise my hand up, 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 and up. How many times do we come to Second Sunday Supper? By the way, that's next week on the first Sunday, because Mother's Day is on the second Sunday. How many times do we come and not bring an item for the Emmaus House, which it's in that bulletin every single week to bring something for the Emmaus House? I can tell you, Brenda and I have failed miserably at that. We need to do better. We need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. These are things that he mandates. Point two, must be a vision that reflects priorities. We talked a lot about priorities at that leadership meeting. We set, I've listed three major priorities. I think they would be the three key ones that we talked about. One is the one of making disciples. Point A, making more and better disciples. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the final words that Jesus says to his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." Make disciples. It's not optional, folks. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You see, it's not just about evangelizing them. It's not just to get them to make a decision for Christ and to go into that baptistry. He then says, then teach them everything, everything. Everything that I've taught you, you need to teach them. So we have a twofold responsibility to those that we bring to Christ. We need to bring them to Christ. We need to make them into mature disciples. That's the goal. Point B, worship services. That was another priority of our church. It's the one time. It's the 190 minutes, or if Bob gets wound up, an hour and a half that we have to reach people. We need worship services that glorify God. I'm not saying they didn't and they haven't, but we always need to keep that focus. We want to have worship that reaches all ages. So we have a balance of hymns and contemporary songs, generally two songs of each. Each song is selected because it fits the theme I'm preaching on. Francine and I picked them together. I can tell you this last week when we picked the songs for the month of May, and she would say, "I'm not sure, show me that song," and we'd put it up, and I'd play a video or two that I want to use in May, and I played one for Father's Day that I want to use. And I'll just be honest, I cry at toilet tissue commercials. So the whole time Francine and I are picking out songs, she's saying, "Can you hand me another tissue? Can you hand me another tissue?" And we picked out songs that fit the theme. On Mother's Day, we have four ladies who are picking the four songs. So if you don't like them, blame them. Not me. Not me. If you want their names, I'll give you their names.
I love you, Bob.
We do. If you, I know you're getting to know more and more about me, but songs touch me. Touch me in real ways. And we know that today people are visual learners. So we're going to continue to play videos like "Then Came the Morning" last week and "People Need the Lord" today. We're going to play some videos because people learn today visually. They really do. We pray that our worship services are never, never a performance. Never, ever a performance. Toby Mac is a great contemporary singer, one of my favorites. And he has a wonderful song in which he implores God to come and steal his show. Now, I want to tell you, when Toby Mac plays a concert, it's always to a packed house. The young people, the under 50s, just flock to everything that Toby Mac does. And he's written some great songs. We've sung them in our church. But one of his most powerful songs is the song where he just reminds himself over and over again, God, come and steal my show. That it's not about him on that stage or his band, but it's about God. And that's what we want every single week, to be about worship. All right. The third priority. We need to bridge the gap. We need to bridge the gap with young families and kids. And I could spend an hour on this, but let me just say a couple of things. The highest priority of our church is to bring the next generation into this church. Because if we don't, we'll close our doors in 20 years. And I'm absolutely serious about it. We need to be flexible and prepared to reach our next generation. I really pray fervently for new small groups and new Bible studies that are geared towards young families. I would love to teach. I'm just going to tell you exactly how it works. I'd love to teach a parenting class at 9:30 on Sunday morning. But if our parents are going to come to a parenting class, guess what? We then have to have people in the nursery, and we then have to have people to run a children's program at 9:30. And at this moment, we're not prepared to do it. I'm hoping by the fall we will. There's some things our Nurture Commission is already working on. But our commitment is very strong to our children. People have responded very, very well to the Right Now Media, especially what we do with our children. And Vaughn and I were talking this morning before worship. And he said, you know, I don't care if nobody signs up for Children's Church on Sunday morning in June, July, and August. I will be there. Now, I know people will sign up, and he does too. But our commitment is to our kids. It's so important that we continue to reach our kids. All right, I need to quickly move through point number three. It's a vision that clarifies and gives purpose. This mission tells us exactly. Now, understand the difference between a vision statement and a mission statement. The vision statement says this is what we're going to do. The mission statement tells you how are you going to do it. So when you look in your bulletin and it has a mission statement with four or five bullet points, you can turn there because these are literally the next four or five minor points of my message. We need to be on point. We need to be on mission. Number one, share the love of Jesus. Intentionally reach out to lost people. We've already talked about that. I don't want to beat that. Point B, preach the gospel of truth. When you walk in this door, as long as I'm the pastor, as long as Vaughn is the associate, as long as our deacons are our deacons, you can be guaranteed that you will only get biblical preaching with biblical principles from this pulpit. And this summer, when we go back and do another series of 10 sermons on the summer in the Psalms like we did last year, and some of you gave me some Psalms, I'm asking you right now, if you have a psalm you'd like us to preach on this summer, write it down, put it, email me, call me, whatever you need. We're going to do 10 sermons on the Psalms, just like we did last year. And I remind you that I'm on a 15-year plan because there's 150 psalms. So at 85, when you roll me up here, up the ramp to preach, we'll get those last 10 in. Point C. Develop relationships with God and with man. You see, we want to always talk about the vertical relationship with God, but he also says we need a horizontal relationship with each other. The simple quote is, love God, love people. It's something we're all about. And then point D, disciple all people to reach maturity in Christ. Bring them into maturity. Through all of the ministries we have, Bible studies, life groups, children's and youth classes, and we're going to be talking about how to redo our youth group, especially looking at the fall. One-on-one responsibility for taking spiritual maturity to others. Now, before we close, we're going to sing a great hymn of the church, Rescue the Perishing. I want to tell you a little story.